Hello and welcome back to Koala Moon, your podcast of original children's bedtime stories and meditations designed to make bedtime a dream. Woo, our club is getting busier by the day. Let's welcome these special new members today. Hi, Charlie and Leo from Mountain View, California. Joanna and Maram from Melbourne. Jocelyn W. from Toronto and Sadie and Rian in Ireland. Thanks so much to you and your adults for signing you up. For anyone not sure how to request a shout out, I've just recorded a short video, which is now up on our Instagram. And hopefully that makes it all really clear. So pop over there via the link in the show notes and follow the instructions. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Meanwhile, new Koko Clubbers, enjoy all your ad-free listening and extra stories, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any. Before we begin, a quick message for the grown-ups. If you'd like to support our podcast, enjoy ad-free listening, unlock 4 bonus stories per month, and much, much more, you can join Koko Club. Subscribe in just 2 taps via the link in the show notes. But now, here's a quick word from our sponsors. In tonight's story, we're joining young Maggie in her homemade Imaginarium as she travels through her daydreams, exploring the wonders that her mind holds. And rather wonderfully, her friend Thomas has invented a little gadget or gizmo that allows them to enter their dreamlands for real. Are you ready to let your imagination roam free and also enter into Maggie's mind? Okay, let's get ready by lying back in bed. Let your eyes rest gently closed and focus on breathing gently through your nose, in and out, in and out, in, out, in, out. Lovely. Just continue softly breathing and I'll introduce you again to Maggie and her pet rabbit Marshmallow. Oh, and her good friend Thomas. This is Maggie and the Imaginarium's new gizmo by Luke Prendergast. It had been several months since Maggie the Magician had set up her Imaginarium in her back garden, and it certainly hadn't gotten boring yet. From the outside, the Imaginarium could trick people. To the innocent eye, it looked just like a camping tent set up in the garden, with green bunting around the top of it and a flag poking out of its peak depicting a bright white rabbit, identical to Maggie's best friend and magician's assistant, Marshmallow. But the truth was, the Imaginarium was no ordinary camping tent. In fact, it was a place of the most exciting and mysterious magic Maggie had ever had the good fortune of discovering. Because when you stepped inside the Imaginarium, a very wondrous thing happened. You found yourself stepping inside your very own imagination. As you lay on your back and looked up, the canvas roof shifted and transformed, and soon enough it presented a whole world, like a ginormous 3-dimensional screen projecting your mind inside out, all so that you could explore it. Maggie and Marshmallow had enjoyed hours upon hours of fun inviting their friends and family into the Imaginarium so they could explore their imaginations. When Maggie invited her mum in, the Imaginarium showed how her imagination often took the form of the most perfectly idyllic tropical island you could imagine. Palm trees and white sands, sun lounges and lapping waves, endless ice-cold mango juice, and a parrot who flapped its wings to keep you cool. Interestingly enough, the island boasted a huge library too, which Maggie was sure wasn't true of most tiny tropical islands. But her mum did love to read, she supposed, and the imagination can do whatever it wishes. When Maggie invited her dad in, things got even weirder. Her dad's imagination appeared to be populated exclusively by cars, but these cars also happened to play football. Cars of every colour, red and green and black and silver, whizzed all over the place, kicking balls at each other, scoring goals. Lying on his back in the Imaginarium, Maggie's dad whooped and hollered just like he did when he was watching a match on TV. Until, that is, he saw a little lawnmower chugging through his imagination. At which point he abruptly jumped up, said, "Oops, I forgot." And the next thing she knew, Maggie could hear the sound of an engine in the garden and the smell of freshly cut grass. So Maggie certainly had a lot of fun exploring other people's imaginations with them. But truth be told, there was nothing more fun than exploring her own. Even though this might sound a little confusing, Maggie's imagination was richer and more spectacular than she could ever have imagined. Really, as if they were sitting in a spaceship, out exploring the solar system, or in a little submarine, diving into the depths of the ocean. Maggie and Marshmallow peered up into the Imaginarium as though a little glass window, discovering the innumerable worlds that existed inside Maggie's brain. At the moment, Maggie's brain was particularly full of dragons. Often, they could see them soaring through the sky in big puffs of smoke. If there was one problem, though, one little complaint about the Imaginarium that Maggie had, it was that you could only watch your imagination from afar. Sometimes she wished she could step down through the window and into her imagination, and touch and smell and interact with all the wonderful things she found there. Now, you might remember that the last time we met Maggie, she was showing her school friend Thomas around the Imaginarium. In Thomas's imagination, he was an astronaut, and they explored planets and meteorites and comets until they all got so tired they fell asleep. Where Maggie was a whiz kid at magic, Thomas was a dab hand at all things technological. He loved taking computers apart and putting them back together again. He'd built a miniature model car, and he was even trying to build his own spaceship. But after his thrilling experience in Maggie's Imaginarium, a new idea lit up like a light bulb in his mind. And when he got home, he got straight to work. And so it came that one spring afternoon, Maggie was sitting in her garden, sharing a carrot with Marshmallow. She would snap a piece off and crunch it between her teeth, and then she'd let Marshmallow delicately nibble on the end. They were quite contentedly doing this when Maggie's mum stuck her head out of the door. "Maggie, Thomas is here to see you." "Oh!" Maggie exclaimed, quickly excited to see her friend. "Could you tell him to come out to the garden, please, Mum?" A minute later, Thomas appeared at the garden door. He was wearing a bright green shirt, and in his hands he carried a cardboard box.
"Hi, Maggie," he said with a big smile on his face.
"Hello, Thomas," Maggie replied.
She was looking at the box in his hand, which he was carrying as though it contained something very valuable or sacred. She could tell, from her tingly magician senses, that there was something special about the box.
"What is that you've got there?"
she asked him.
"Oh, this,"
said Thomas, his smile turning into a cheeky grin.
"Well, Maggie, this is what I've come to show you."
He lay the box on the ground and knelt beside it. Maggie came and knelt next to him, and even Marshmallow hopped over, the carrot still clutched in his paw, and his little pink nose twitching curiously in the direction of the box. Very carefully,
as though whatever was inside was so delicate that it might dissolve into dust at any sudden movement, Thomas unfolded the top of the box. He sunk his hands inside and took out what appeared to be a small metal computer chip.
"This," he told Maggie, "is a gizmo for the Imaginarium."
"For the Imaginarium," Maggie thought, a little bit confused.
"What's a gizmo?" she asked.
"A gizmo is..."
But then Thomas paused and put his fingers to his chin thoughtfully.
"Well, a gizmo is just one of these."
And then he explained to Maggie that he had been so filled with thrill and excitement when she'd first showed him her Imaginarium that he was immediately struck with an idea that he just couldn't get out of his head. He'd thought how amazing it might be for him to be able to invent a little device, a gizmo, that could be attached to the Imaginarium, so that not only could you float around your imagination, observing all its contents, but actually step inside it. Maggie felt her heart start to beat with excitement.
"Step inside?" she asked. "How?"
"Well," Thomas said, "if my gizmo has worked, it can help convince your imagination that your body has gone into your magical imaginarium with it. So then, even while you're still lying on the floor, as far as you know, you're wandering around. Well, wandering around the inside of your head."
He gave her a hopeful smile.
"That's if it works," he added.
"That is amazing, Thomas," Maggie said, getting straight to her feet. "We have to try it out right now."
So the three friends, Maggie, Marshmallow, and Thomas, who bore the gizmo carefully in his hands, stood and went inside the Imaginarium. Maggie watched with curiosity and a fair bit of anticipation as Thomas went to one of the Imaginarium's corners and started fiddling with it.
"I just have to weave the gizmo into the very fabric of the Imaginarium," he explained. "And then it should work."
When he was done, Thomas stepped back. There, in the corner, Maggie could see the gizmo, attached to the side of the tent and twinkling. Now it was time to give it a go. They all lay on the floor, and Maggie asked whose imagination they should enter.
"Yours, Maggie," Thomas said straight away. "It's your imaginarium. You should go first."
"Okay, everyone," Maggie said. "Close your eyes, relax your mind, and count to five."
They all did as she asked, and when they opened their eyes again, the ceiling of the Imaginarium had transformed into a night sky, covered with billions and billions of bright, twinkling stars. Then they all zoomed towards the stars, or maybe the stars zoomed towards them. Either way, they travelled through the huge universe of Maggie's teeming imagination, watching all the possible worlds of her mind fly by.
"Where are we off to?"
Thomas asked. A Marshmallow gave a little flap of his ears as if to say, "Just wait. You'll see soon enough." Soon enough, the ceiling of the Imaginarium shimmered brightly, and then it appeared that they were sailing over an ancient land with lakes and mountains, valleys and craters.
"Look," said Maggie,
and Thomas looked up, and they all watched as a big green dragon flapped its wings and flew above them,
little tendrils of smoke trailing from its nostrils.
I don't know why, Maggie said, but I've been thinking a lot about dragons recently. But don't worry, she added, sensing Thomas shiver with nerves beside her. They're super friendly dragons. Trust me, I'd know. They live in my imagination.
That's good, said Thomas, because the gizmo's about to kick in. Can you feel it now?
Maggie could feel it, and Marshmallow too. It felt like falling, but upwards. Falling up into the roof of the Imaginarium. And there was not an entirely unpleasant feeling of flipping head over heel. And then, pop,
the three friends were suddenly standing on solid ground. They looked all about them.
They'd found themselves on a flat plain of dusty ground, with big patches of long grass growing here and there. A few trees taller than anything Thomas had ever imagined before, and some huge boulders that looked like they'd been shaped and rolled by the hands of giants. Maggie stamped on the ground. It was firm. Then she knelt down and touched the grass, which felt just like the grass in the real world, cool and soft and delicate on her fingers.
Wow, Thomas, she said. The gizmos really worked. We really are in my imagination.
So the three friends wondered, or in the case of Marshmallow, hopped through Maggie's imagination, looking everywhere in wonder at how real everything felt, how absolutely perfectly Thomas's technological gizmo had worked. They turned the corner of a path that snaked round one of the large boulders and came upon a bright blue dragon with a crest of pink spikes leading all the way from the crown of his head, down his spine, and to the tip of his long tail. He had his head in a bush, as though he were looking for something deep inside it.
Whoa, whispered Thomas, grabbing Maggie's arm. But Maggie said there was nothing to worry about. Like she'd said, all the dragons here were friendly.
And as if to prove her point, Marshmallow bounced right up to the bright blue dragon and said hello.
Oh, hello, little rabbit, said the dragon in a deep, kind of sulky voice. And hello, little humans. How are all of you?
Maggie, approaching the dragon with Thomas, told him they were all very well and introduced themselves by name. The dragon told them he was called Smokey, but he said this in an equally sulky voice.
May I ask you, Mr. Smokey? Maggie said a little tentatively. But you seem a little sad. Is everything okay?
Smokey the dragon shook his head and with a deep sigh explained that he was feeling a little low because he had lost all of his dragon eggs. That's why he'd been looking in the bush, he explained, because he thought that one might be in there.
How did you lose your eggs? Thomas asked him,
and the dragon pointed behind him at a tall hill. He told them that he lived on top of that hill and had been looking after his stack of eggs. But in the middle of the night, he'd been having a very exciting dream about flying at top speeds when he'd accidentally swiped his tail across his cave and hit his pile of eggs. And off they'd rolled, down the hill, scattered all across the land.
They're very strong, he said. So there's no chance they've broken. But they're all over the place now. And I can't find them. Just then he paused and put a claw in the air.
"Hear that?" he said.
And in fact they could. A low humming sound, like someone singing a quiet melody.
"That's the sound an egg makes," Smokey said.
He dove back into the bush, and when he came out he was holding a pale pink egg. He looked briefly relieved.
"Got one," he said,
and slipped it back into the satchel he had around his neck. He gave a big unexpected smile, which then quickly faded away.
"But there are so many more to find," he added.
Maggie and Thomas must have had the same thought at the same time, because they exchanged a brief look and a wink. They told Smokey that they could help him find his eggs if he'd like them to. Smokey's face, which up until then, if Maggie was being honest, had been a little grumpy, broke into a bright smile.
"Do you really mean that?" he asked.
"Of course we do," they cried.
And so off they went, the four of them, Maggie and Thomas and Marshmallow and Smokey. Smokey said there were three left and that they had to keep their ears out for the sound. They wandered across the plains of Maggie's imagination, trying to listen out. But no one could hear anything. Then, suddenly Marshmallow, who of course had the biggest ears of them all, stamped his foot and told them to listen out. They all cocked their ears. There it was, a soft melodic sound, as though the wind itself was humming a tune.
"Go on, Marshmallow," said Maggie encouragingly. "Follow that sound."
As they followed Marshmallow, hopping over the grassy plain, Thomas leant in to whisper in Maggie's ear.
"Hey, if this is all happening in your imagination, shouldn't you know where the eggs are? As in, haven't you made this all up?"
Maggie thought about this for a moment, before shrugging and giving Thomas a quizzical look.
"I guess even your own mind can be a mystery to you," she said.
Soon enough, Marshmallow paused beside a tree, hopped back, and then gave the trunk of the tree a shove with his two big feet. There was a rustling noise, and then down from the tree fell a dragon's egg. Smokey caught it as it fell.
"Nice job, guys," he said. "Thank you."
Smokey put the egg into his satchel. It turned out that Marshmallow, with his big fluffy ears, had the power to hear things that were inaudible to the ears of mere humans and mere dragons too. With a twitch of his ears and a bit of concentration, he could hear eggs very far away. No sooner had he discovered the one up the tree than he had them bouncing to a stream lined with spiky purple pine trees and pointed into its twinkling currents.
"There it is," said Thomas, pointing.
He slipped into the cool water, waded into the middle of the stream, and plucked up yet another dragon egg.
"Only one more left,"
said Smokey, putting the final egg in his satchel. For a final time, Marshmallow twitched his ears, listened out, and then pointed with his little pink nose.
"It's that way," cried Maggie.
So off they went, wandering along the edge of the stream and then up a path that curved around the side of a large hill. Marshmallow kept listening out and hearing that the egg was on the other side of the hill. So they marched around it until they found themselves back at where they'd started. They looked at each other in confusion for a few moments, until Maggie broke out into a big laugh.
"Oh, silly us! The egg's not around the other side of the hill. It's on top of the hill."
And sure enough, When they'd climbed up, there it was. The final dragon egg, perched right on the crest of the hill, as if just waiting for someone to find it. Smokey slipped the egg into his satchel and then looked at Maggie, Thomas and Marshmallow with a look of deep gratitude. He thanked them each, giving them a hug one by one. And once they'd said their goodbyes and waved Smokey off, the three friends sat together on the top of the hill. Maggie gave a big yawn.
Wow, that was an eventful day. Travelling through my imagination, she said. I'm getting pretty tired.
The others couldn't help but agree.
Is it time to head back home?
Asked Thomas.
Yes, said Maggie. But how? Now we're inside my imagination. How do we get out?
Out of his pocket, Thomas drew a tiny little electronic pad with a bright blue button on it.
We just pressed this, he said.
He handed the pad to Maggie. She smiled at Thomas, and she smiled at Marshmallow.
Thanks for coming into my imagination with me, she said to her friends,
and then she pressed the button. Maggie, Thomas, and Marshmallow found themselves lying on their backs in the Imaginarium, in exactly the same place they'd been in what felt like hours and hours before. Through the fabric sides of the Imaginarium, they could see that the light was fading. Evening must be approaching. But the three friends didn't get up just yet. They stayed lying down, staring up at the ceiling of the Imaginarium, which no longer looked like an expanse of starry sky, but just a plain cloth canvas.
What an amazing gizmo, said Maggie with a yawn.
You really are a whiz at invention.
Thomas gave a big stretch of his arms and legs.
Well, there wouldn't be any gizmo without your Imaginarium, Maggie, he said.
And then they lay there, thinking about how amazing it was that they had combined magic and technology in such a mind-boggling way, and thinking how neither of them could wait to use the gizmo to enter the Imaginarium again. Until soon enough, the sounds of heavy breathing filled the tent, and Marshmallow knew that Maggie and Thomas were asleep. Very quietly, so as not to disturb them, he slipped out of the tent and went to get Maggie's dad, who would be able to carry the two sleeping children off to bed.